This morning, I just want to share a few thoughts with you. A couple weeks ago, in the city of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, for those of you from Texas and southern United States, it's just south of the North Pole. It's probably as close from Saskatoon to the North Pole as it is from here down to Texas. I'm not sure, but... Pardon me? Because most Canadians are alert, aren't they? No, I'm just... But in Saskatoon a couple weeks ago, we had some festivities happening. We call it the Taste of Saskatchewan, and that's where local restaurants would display their wares, and you can go, and it's right along the riverbank. But there's another event that was called the Dragon Boat Races, and you'll have to help me out here, Mr. Swan, but if he's here, there you are. But we've always heard of it in the past, and so we never really took it in. But I said to Sonia, let's take in a day down at the river and watch dragon boat races, because we knew some people that were in it: Grayson and Quinn Patterson, Corey and Derek.
And your son, Ian.
Yeah, but you guys were on one team. And Ian was on another team that he was involved with his work. But there were 45 teams. There's about, 20 rowers?
Eight? Yeah, there's 20 and 22 on a boat.
Yeah, 20 or 22 rowers on this boat. So it's not a small boat. And so we went down to watch these events. So there's 45 teams, and there's three boats. So the boats come into a marshalling area, and they unload one group of the teams, and then another group of teams come on. And they race on the river. So they start at one bridge, and that's kind of our main bridge where traffic gets across. Oh, by the way, Saskatoon's called the City of Bridges. But and then at the another bridge, about half a kilometer down, is where it ends. So folks would line up along the shore and on the bridge and watch these boats. And we ended up going up on top of the bridge because you can get a better view of it. But I was, as I was watching these races, and when it was time for Grayson and his team to race, we didn't know which boat they were in. There was three of them at the end getting ready to start. And the only way I could tell which one was Grayson's boat, when they went underneath us, I could see a bald head. I don't think he wore a hat, but anyway, as these boats were getting ready to go, you have 20 rowers. I'm just going to use the 20 rowers. You have a head person with a drum to do the beat, and then you have a helmsman. Is that right? Is that what they call a steer? They steer the boat. And when the horn goes, you hear this 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and they're building up momentum. And as you see these boats coming down, the oars are coming out of the water, into the water, out of the water, into the water, in unison. And you hear the drummer beating, and then they get into a steady rhythm, and they're moving the boats down the river, and the person steering the boat makes sure it goes steady and straight. And as I just was watching these, I had an image of unity in this boat. These rowers had to be in unity to win the race. And it just kind of reminded me, even as the body of Christ. Christ is giving us direction. He's steering the boat, and we are in the boat together. We most of these rowers, some are tall, some are short, some are short or thin, you know, heavy. They all have different strengths, but the one that is given the direction beats out 1, 2, 3, and the paddles go in. And the guy who's steering has to make sure that boat goes straight, because sometimes you get pulled a little bit one side, sometimes to the other. But he's got to keep it going straight so that they'd be the winner at the end of the race. If that person steering decides he's going to look off and not pay attention, he pulls the lever over and the boat swings over. You know, I don't imagine those paddlers are going to be too happy, because they're all of a sudden have to make up extra space, extra time, and to get to the end. But it just impressed upon me that these boats, those that were involved as a team, had to operate as a team. And as a body of Christ, we have to operate in unity. We all have different gifts, different strengths, all those types of different things. But the one that is leading us is Christ. And the one that is steering us is God. And so that was impressed upon me. And by the way, I think your team won first in B division. There's a bunch of divisions. And Ian's team won first in their division, but so they had a good run, and pretty exhausting effort. And those guys and gals were paddling pretty good. But there was another part of this event that really caught my attention. There were two teams, one from Edmonton and one from Saskatoon, and they were all cancer survivors. Women who are survivors with breast cancer, and this was kind of their way to show that they beat this disease. And when the boats are finished, when they finish at the finish line, they have to then paddle them back up to the marshalling area, which is at the starting point. So it's one thing to paddle your way down to the end of the race, but you got to take these boats back. And at the last race of these two particular boats, the cancer survivors, you could tell they were different, because they wore their life jackets were pink, and whereas the rest of you have to exchange them, you know, and so, but these ones you could tell they were just different, and they had these pink life jackets, but. When they finished their last race, they came along the shore, kind of in the area where a lot of the activities were taken, and they stopped for a moment and give tribute to those ones that didn't make it that year. But as they were giving this tribute, and that part of the event was over the loudspeaker, one of the ladies, I don't know if she was on the boat or not, but gave a testimony of her struggle with this disease. And I remember her saying, I'm not going to say the words exactly, but I remember her saying how she felt when she was diagnosed. The fear that was in her heart, and the trauma that it was to her husband and her family. And she went on to say, you know, and she said it kind of this way, cancer, you can take the life out of me. You can make me sick. You can make me lose my hair. You can put me through a lot of things, but one thing you cannot take is my hope. And she went on to talk about her support of her family, support of the medical profession, the support that she had, and through her experiences and her grappling with this disease, she said, I'm a survivor. Now, while I was listening to this, I have sunglasses on. Excuse me. The tears are coming. Because I could feel, and I know what she was talking about. And I said, Satan, did you hear that? You can make life miserable for me. You can touch my health. You can cause a lot of trouble for me. But you're not going to take away my hope. I have a support system of a tremendous number of saints who kept us up in prayer. And at the end of the day, Satan, did you hear what she said? I survived. And, of course, I'm standing out in the middle of the field. I don't want people really to see I'm crying, but... But what really, just really impressed me was here this team of cancer survivors were going out and doing their best in running the race, togetherness, in unison, paddles coming out of the water, into the water, out of the water, and as you see them coming. And they're, the person beating out the drum, keeping them all together, and the one in the back steering them, keeping them on a straight path. I just can't help but say that's the body of Christ helping each one of us get through some tough times. And I shared with our local assembly a little bit of a talk on being a survivor. You know, being a survivor is getting through a very difficult time, a difficult situation. Sometimes the whole process of being a survivor is that. It's a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. It can take time. And we can go through struggles. And whether it's through health or a struggle in our spiritual relationship with the Lord. Sometimes these things take time. But to be a survivor simply means we live through that. We get through that experience. But if we persevere in our walk with the Lord, it also secures one other thing, and that is our inheritance in the kingdom. If we persevere and we support one another and we lift one another up, as the scriptures tell us, and as we work together in unison, running that race in the boat, we will get to the finish line. And there, well, Grayson, you can tell me, but there's kind of an exhilaration or just a sense of accomplishment when you finish that race. And then eventually find out that you are number one in your group. But it's, and that's very similar as in the body of Christ, that we secure that inheritance. And when I talk about an inheritance, I'm talking about that spiritual inheritance, that place that God wants us to be, and He wants us to be one of those survivors. So how do we do that? How do we secure that inheritance in God's kingdom? And the scriptures give us lots of instructions, and I'm sure I don't have to go through many of these things. But when you read through the Beatitudes in Matthew, the blessedness. Well, let's just turn to it. Beatitudes. I looked that up as what the word meant. And it means a supreme level or a high level blessedness. And when Jesus was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he goes through the Beatitudes here. And it's in Matthew 5, a few verses. I'm going to verses 3 to 12, and it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." Promises that the Lord has given to us if we are survivors, we overcome, we persevere. And that is, maybe that's all I'll say is simply that message. But you can take the time to be with the Lord. Each one of us can do things in our own lives to secure that inheritance. Inheritance, the word itself, in the natural, means that once I pass on or my wife pass on, our kids will inherit everything we have. And in a natural, that's what happens. But you know, there are times where there is a relationship breakup and a person can lose their inheritance. And you know, and if we turn away from the Lord, we risk losing that inheritance. But the Lord loves us so much that He doesn't want us to turn away. He wants us, that paddle, unison, running a race together, supporting one another, and finish the race. He wants us to be survivors. And you all can do that.